Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Paul Merriman, of course, CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul, is with me here in studio today because you're in to tell us about managing our money. I don't know who was that kind of savings sitting at home lying around, Paul, but for people that have any little bit of extra cash,
yes,
that they want to try and make it to, you know, make it do more than it currently is, what are the options?
The worst place to put it is in an overnight bank account. You're getting zero interest practically. And there's over 172 billion from Irish households, with the vast majority of that cash, that's billion, sitting on those overnight rates. So we are leaking, as citizens, hundreds of millions in free cash just by being a little bit proactive.
So people are saving.
Like people are saving, and they're saving quite a lot. And, you know, those stats that come out from the Central Bank of Ireland or the Bank and the Payment Federation when they release them, they always scare me because a lot of people that have it in overnight cash, there's no way we need that amount of money tomorrow. So the vast amount of that cash could be in a one-year deposit, even a longer-term deposit account, making money if you wanted to access it in the next 12 months. And I suppose what I want to talk about here is if you don't need access to cash for a long period of time, like typically over 5 years, Andrea, you should be investing that money and making it work as hard as possible for you. But before you invest, there's a couple of simple rules. One, you should be clearing off short-term debt. So debt that's probably costing you anywhere from 6% up to 25% on a credit card. And making sure you have your short-term cash. So if you need short-term cash for a house deposit next year, a wedding, kids' schools, whatever you need over the next few years, if you have a big lump sum, you need to keep that cash. But you can't keep it on an overnight rate, so deposit. But the problem here is that Irish banks are not passing on the correct deposit rates to the consumer, to citizens. There's a really good profile there in a company called Raisin.ie. It's a platform from all the European banks that everyone can log on to today and be able to get access to better deposit rates, up towards 2.93% with Raisin.ie. That's an amazing platform because part of being in the EU is being able to access other financial institutions. And for years, I've always had people on Ask Paul through our questions asking us, can we get a mortgage from Germany or from Spain, etc.? You can't, but now you can actually save at those banks that are giving back the deposit rates to their citizens. We're just not giving enough. And then on top of that, if you look at, I'm going to share this video on my Instagram page later on a recent Public's Account Committee, they had the NTMA in talking about prize bonds. I mean, prize bonds, it's crazy. If you have a prize bond, you're basically lending money to the government. And in this Public's Committee, the head of the NTA basically says the citizens lend us money and the prize bonds pot is less than, is only 1% of the interest of what they raise. And you have to be lucky enough to win it. So you're like literally lending the government free money for them to be able to run the place and getting zero. Where if they were going to an institution, they'd be paying well over 4 or 5%. So in essence, the banks are ripping us off. And then if you're using something like prize bonds or even the state savings, they're equally ripping us off because they're not beating inflation.
So when you talk about putting your money somewhere, even in a kind of a very short-term account, we're not talking about pensions here now?
No. So I think anything under 5 years, you're looking at these, you know, raising accounts or making sure your money's in a really good working deposit account for you. Anything above the 5 years, you're typically looking to invest it. So an investor, people get scared because of stock markets are typically what investments are. And, you know, if I had 100 people in the room today and I asked them to put their hand up if they agreed with the following statement, that they realised the stock markets go up and down in value, everyone would probably put their hand up and say, yeah, I get that. All you have to do is have a really well-diversified portfolio and give it time, i.e. not take it out when the market's down. The problem is people don't structure themselves before they invest. They invest money they might need in 3 years or 2 years or next year.
So we don't know, isn't it? Like, it's everything from the car breaking down to...
And that's why usually if you have cash, you're probably better off keeping it in somewhere like Raisin.ie in a really high yielding deposit account. But if you have an extra 500 a month or 1,000 or 100 quid a month or the children's allowance of 140 a month to recycle into an education fund, once it's over 5 years, you really need to consider the investment markets.
How much should we have in a kind of a rainy day fund?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It depends how you're structured. I know we covered this in the first segment that is about income protection and having an income protection policy in place. I'm going to say an absolute minimum of €1,000, but it should be probably 3 to 6 months your net income. But it depends. Like if you work for somebody and they have a really good sick pay policy and they have income protection in place for you, you'll probably be okay for the first 3 to 6 months. You mightn't actually be that bad. And depends obviously what the emergency is. Is it a long term health? Is it the car breaking down? It can be anything dependent on people's circumstances. So you say minimum of 1,000 and practically probably around 3 months your net income. And if you're someone that's self-employed and you don't have an employer to back you up, especially if you're a small self-employed mm-hmm. business, you probably will need more, because if something happens to you, the business will probably just stop overnight. So you definitely need a bigger buffer, and you definitely need the likes of the income protection and everything else to go alongside that.
Yeah, look, it's funny, the income protection, often when you talk to kind of financial advisors around this, or particularly those in the area of pensions,
yeah.
you know, usually, well not usually, but at times, the advice is often to put the money into the pension. Because
absolutely not. Yeah, you can't do it. You have that. There's no point in sorting 70 and 80 year old you. If you like, if you say you put, say 20 grand to a pension today, you can't access till you're 60. So what happens if you're out of work sick next week? So now, income protection policies are ridiculously cheap, in my opinion. They've got a lot of tax relief attached to them. You know, so having a small income protection policy, like if you're going to set up a pension plan and maybe pay, let's say it's just 200 quid a month into the pension plan, put 20, 30 euro towards the income protection plan and 170 into the pension, because you're covering the emergency that would happen between now and retirement age. And I think any advisor, to be honest with you, I'm going to say it, any advisor that puts a pension plan in place and doesn't talk about income protection is a pension salesperson. It's not a financial planner. Because you wouldn't, why would you recommend somebody put all their eggs in something that they can't actually access till they're 60?
And the income protection, Paul, that's really, that's only for illness, isn't it? It's not for...
Yeah, it's more for accident illness, or you're out of work for anything due to an accident illness or injury. And you usually have to be out for at least 3 months, or to make the premium cheaper, you can go to 6 months. But there's some really good policies out there. A lot of people think you can cover up to 75% of your salary, Andrew, but you don't have to. You could just cover, say, your mortgage repayment or your rent payment.
Okay.
So you don't have to go all the way to the maximum.
Yeah.
But 100%, I would put anybody into an income protection policy before into a pension plan. It's really important.
Listener here says, I have a small amount of money to invest at the moment. I'm really not sure where to start. So for those, for beginners, where am I going?
We have over on the AskPaul.ie page, I suppose, Instagram page and website, we have three really good funds that we develop with three largest fund managers in the world, Fidelity, BlackRock and Vanguard. Give us a shout or go to another financial planner. You need advice. You need to sit down with somebody and explain your circumstances. And when it comes to investing, it's all about risk profile as well. So it's about your level of risk you're willing to take. It's all very well me sitting here saying over 15 years, typically speaking, you've like a minus, a 1% chance maybe of having less in your portfolio than today over 15 years. But if you're someone that just won't be able to sleep because of the movement in your money, there's no point in being it.
High risk.
There's no point in being in that level of risk. So usually you'd have a number of portfolios built that would have low, low, medium, medium, high, and then high risk. And typically speaking, if somebody comes in to me then in their 30s or 40s and they're looking for a pension and it's maybe 25, 20 years away, you should be going into the higher equities, the higher kind of portfolio with stocks and shares, because you've got a long time to diversify through. If it's somebody that only has 5 to 10 years, you might put them in a medium risk portfolio with less volatility. But a thing for listeners to be aware of, the word volatility, and when you look at the funds that we are regulated to advise clients on, they have what's called an ESMA rating, and it goes from 1 to 7. So 1 is really low risk and low moving, like a deposit account, and 7 is considered really high risk. If you look at a kind of 4 or 5, like those funds have been typically that we would use, have been given in around kind of 8% up towards 15% per year on annum, per annum over the last 10 years, if not longer. Where someone that goes into a state bond or a prize bond is getting 0% and inflation's 2, or not 3. So you're kind of saying, which one's the risk? The one that gives no return, but no fluctuation of value and doesn't even beat inflation, or the one that has a bit of movement but is given really strong long performance returns?
Just finally, Paul, you're a lot of people, I think, maybe considering the income protection listening to you today. Is 53 too late to start?
No, not at all. Obviously, there's three things to consider. It's going to be your age, what type of job you do. Someone that is sitting at a desk, say an accountant, is going to be cheaper to insure than a carpenter on site all day. And the next thing is your overall health today and then your smoker status. Income protection, I think, is without being too smart about this, is probably the most important financial product ahead of investments, ahead of pensions, ahead of anything else. Because if something goes wrong, your income is typically the biggest asset you have over the next 10, or that person's 53, over the next 12 years, they're going to earn a substantial amount of income from themselves as in their human capital. So it's really important to ensure it. But yeah, you're never too old. I mean, obviously, the older you are, the more likely you might have health complaints.
Yeah.
So it might not get out of the policy. It's definitely the most important.
CEO of Fairstone, founder of Ask Paul, Paul Merriman, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.